Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Father God, tonight we pray for your word, Lord. Make it come alive to our spirits. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive all that your word reveals tonight for your glory. We thank you for it all in the name of our Lord Jesus. And church, if you agree, say amen. And as you recall from last week, if you were here, that Jesus actually stood up in the synagogue to read, as his custom was, but he had this particular passage chosen right out of Isaiah chapter 61. The interesting part, when he read this, he stopped in the middle of verse 2, and he didn't go on. And he says, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." Well, why wouldn't he go on? Because you see, at the first part, he speaks of his coming, what he's going to do in his first advent, that he's coming to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the ones that are captive, to set them free, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the day. And that he was there to bring salvation and to speak to them. How awesome is that? And he was standing right there in front of them. And yet, they didn't clearly understand what he had to say. But he stopped. And I wonder if they thought for a moment, why did he stop there? Well, actually, when he stops, "and the day of vengeance of our God," right there, that one phrase speaks of what's going to happen. The term vengeance in the Hebrew means punishment, judgment. In other words, here he is proclaiming salvation, but then now here he is proclaiming that there's judgment coming. And then he goes from there in the prophecy of Isaiah to comfort all who mourn. And he goes all the way through the rest of this chapter, and he gives 9 areas of promise concerning the future, the kingdom that's going to come, the millennial reign. But here is at the beginning, he begins to say, "Okay, I'm here to bring salvation. If you reject that, then the day of vengeance of our God's coming." But after the day of vengeance of our God is so neat, because then he goes on to say, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless your life." You know, it's like the tough times happen in our life, and then he tells us, but there's a day of promise coming. Well, the interesting part of this is, he gives to us this part, and yet he stops, and yet we tonight, I want to focus on that in verse 2, the day of vengeance. See, Jesus left this out in his reading in Luke, but Isaiah speaks of it as the first and second coming, the second advent. Now, we do know part of that second advent is coming. He comes in the clouds of the air. So this is coming, when we speak of the advent, we're speaking the coming to the ground, to the earth. And then the second advent, when he comes again to the ground, to the earth. But in between, we know of the rapture of the church. And we've been talking about that a little bit on Sunday morning. But in verses 4 through 11, Isaiah will cover that second coming, that future coming, and also what's going to happen in the glorious day where it begins the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But this something that Jesus spoke of often. As a matter of fact, he also used something that we should be aware of, so that we could be aware of that second coming. If we're aware of the second coming, then we should be ready. And being ready means being ready, actually for us, being ready for the rapture of the church. We should be ready. But remember, he told us, "I'm not going to tell you the day or the hour." So no man knows it. We don't know when he's coming. And that's the exciting part. Why? Because we should live every day as though the Lord is coming today. Amen? We should live with that readiness in our heart. But not only that, Peter speaks of the fact that the person who does it has this hope is a person whose life will be purified. In other words, if we knew he was coming 5 years from now, we might say, "Well, you know, I could take it easy for the next 5 years, right up until the last moment." But you see, we don't know. And that's the exciting part to me. But he used one key that we should be aware of to know when these events are taking place. And it's Israel. Israel is the key component to everything of the end times, or what's called eschatology from theology. Eschatology, the times of the end times. And so he used an example, and I'm not going to have you turn there because of time tonight, but in Matthew 24, he referred to his disciples, he deferred them to the parable of the fig tree. Fig tree always stands for Israel. And he says that when it's ready to bloom and blossom, then you'll know that my coming is nigh. So he gave them a sample. Well, we see Israel today blooming and blossoming and doing things that Jesus said. So the time is near, okay? But there were other signs. And he gave them, as it was in the days of Noah, and the evil in the world, and the marriages completely collapsing and falling apart, the whole idea of marriage and all of that. He gave them that. But then Peter says something, and I want you to go to the book of Acts. We covered this, but I want you to go to the book of Acts tonight and look with me at Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to have you look at a couple passages before I introduce what I want to also share with you tonight. But in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, remember, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon these early believers. Jesus, of course, is ascended into the heavens, and then Peter stands up to proclaim, these people are not drunk, that they're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he gives them a quote of prophecy right out of the prophet Joel. And he says, they're not drunk, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he says in verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19. And I will show you wonders in heaven above. Please underline that. I will show you wonders in heaven above, things that are not explained naturally, and signs in the earth beneath. Well, we're seeing the signs, obviously. Blood and fire and vapor smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. What does he mean, the moon into blood? Before the coming and the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he's giving these signs for what? To get people shook up, to say, hey, God is talking to us. Let's do something about it. Let's come to the Lord. Let's follow him. So I think it should wake up the church. Now, let's go back where that prophecy was taken from that Peter stated. Let's go to Joel and go with me to Joel chapter 2, or Joel, however you want to call it. But in Joel chapter 2, and in this particular prophecy that Peter's quoting, there's a lot of things. I used to love to share from this. It's right after Hosea and the little book of Joel. And because I always found it, I mean, it was always something that would trigger my heart, especially when I thought about the people who were lost. So when I was doing a lot of evangelistic work, it was quite often I would go to this passage and quote it to people. And I would usually use it from the time of verse 14 in Joel chapter 3. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Why? Because the day of the Lord is in the valley of decision. Well, it's coming. It's near. So the valley of decision means today I could die, tomorrow I could die. You don't get to decide. You are in the position that you decide while you're alive. And while you're alive, you better get ready, because the day of the Lord is near. What? His day of vengeance, as Isaiah is prophesying, is coming. You better get it right. But then he says something strange. He says, look at this, in verse 15, the sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. Okay, but he picks up on a thought here that he already said. So go to verse 30 of chapter 2. Verse 30 of chapter 2 of Joel. He says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you see, all of these are signs in the end to get people to wake up. The time is short. The time is close. Sunday night here in California was a rare occasion for us, but it was across the world. And yet it's amazing to me, especially in the United States, because it was a rare occurrence. It was called a blood moon. And the blood moon term is interesting because if you looked up at the moon, you saw that it turned red like blood because the earth was in the way of the sun and the moon, and it was awesome. And this particular one was really awesome because it was a huge moon. And I don't know, how many of you went outside and saw it? Okay, quite a few of you, good. I got to see it, it was so exciting. Because all these people were standing out there, and while they were there, I was telling them, you know, this is tied to Judaism. They go, what? And they didn't understand that at all. So what I'm about to tell you and show you is in no way saying that the Lord's coming tonight, next week, next month, next year. I don't know when he's coming, okay? But I know this is a sign. The Lord is coming. Jesus said in Mark 13:24, he says, but in those days the sun shall be darkened or eclipsed, and the moon shall not give its light, eclipse, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, the power and great glory. So we know that there's something significant, but we don't know it's exactly this, okay? And so I don't want you to run off and say, Pastor told us this is it. But there are signs. And it's interesting because Yahweh, God, uses the moon for signs in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Feasts of Israel are relevant to Yahweh, and they're all related to the moon. I don't know if you noticed that or not when you study the Feasts of Israel. In Leviticus 23 is where that begins. You find that out. And the blood-red moons are prophetic in Scripture. Joel, we just read, speaks of that. So there's something about this. The Jewish Talmud, the book of tradition and interpretation that the Jews study out of, and they say this. When the moon is in an eclipse, it's a bad omen for Israel. Wow, why? It's a sign that they say the sword is coming to the world. Therefore, the lunar eclipse equals bad omen for the Jewish people and for Israel. And why? Because maybe they never understood that it's a day for them to look towards salvation. But they don't look towards that. They look to the bad omen and this part of it. It was confirmed by NASA that we have blood-red moons, and they actually go back and trace these moons all the way back even to 1 AD. And yet, it is significant. I haven't studied that part, so I'm not going to go there with you tonight. But I can tell you this, that there is something that's happened in these last, and the other night was the fourth blood moon, and the history that we know directly affecting Israel. Because each one of the blood moons, which was a series of four moons that appear over a cycle of time, short time, actually, this was the fourth one. And this was the climax. It won't happen again for over 100 years. Astronomy tells us this, not astrology. Astrology is witchcraft. Astronomy is the science of the moon and the stars and the constellations. So four blood moons, what is that? In fact, you could see it on Netflix, but I can't do this. And so tonight, I'm going to show you something that we actually have available to show you because you're in our home tonight. And this is not public broadcast, so we're going to turn it off of the internet. It's not going to be shown tonight. The interesting part of this is Israel is the key to Bible prophecy, but the Word of God is the key to Bible prophecy. And what we should study is the Word of God. Do I hear an amen? First of all. But I personally find it fascinating. So tonight, I want to show you, it's a documentary that was just made this year in 2015, and we're only going to see part of it tonight and the next part next week, and I'll introduce the next part to you and give you a little bit more information. But let's roll it. First part. Prophecy is true. But the interesting part of it is there is this reality of this correlation between the moons, the four that happen exactly at these significant times for Israel. Is that a sign? I don't know. But I know one thing, it sure gets my attention, but yet I know the most important thing we have is the Word of God. And that's what we got to look at and follow after. But this kind of gives you a little history. I pray that You've enjoyed that. Did you enjoy that? How many have you seen it before? Okay, good. So I want to make sure you have the historical information before we jump into the rest of Isaiah 61. So please stand.